WFM. You're listening to a tribute to WABC.
The All-American Half Pound. Keep pure beef patty, lettuce, tomatoes. This is Rock and Roll Radio. Come on, let's rock and roll. This is Rock and Roll Radio. Stay tuned for more rock and roll.
News when it happens on WABC AM and FM New York. 77 WABC. Yeah, Big Dan back again. Thank you, Doug. We got music for you. That's the music. 77
WABC. Today, yes, this song is super hit number 5.
Saltwater pool is open right now. You ride the world's highest swift sky ride and enjoy the fabulous new Showboat Funhouse with 35 attractions for one low price at Palisades Amusement Park. And tomorrow and Sunday at 2 p.m., see Johnny and the Sherwoods. And Sunday at noon, see the big Hootenanny Show with no extra charge at Palisades Amusement Park. And a big extra this Sunday, you'll see Billy J. Kramer. It's a lovely day in New York Town.
In New York City, we entertain you. So plan your weekend with music and us.
Hi there, Kimo Sabe. This is Big Dan Ingram, reminding you that everything you want to hear this weekend is at 77 on your radio dial. The hotline of hits. All the great music from the WABC Super Hit Survey. Introduced by the All-Americans of Radio, Herb Oscar Anderson, Bob Dayton, Scott Muni, Cousin Bruce Morrow, Charlie Greer, Bob Lewis, and yours truly, Dan Ingram.
The hairy one with the big feet.
Plus, news as it happens, weather before it happens, all the late sports scores, road reports of traffic conditions, and our expanded coastal reports for all skippers out there. WABC is such great listening. Tune 77 Radio every Saturday and Sunday all summer long. Remember, the weekend swing too on 77 Radio WABC.
Your weekend fun,
yeah,
never ends on Saturday, Sunday, WABC.
Number one sound in New York, baby. Do you love me? You know it. Day Flock 5, number 20.
5, the Dan Ingram Show on All American Radio. 82 degrees right now in New York Town.
We did jingles, and we had some jingles made, but promotion, for some reason, was lacking. Things that worked later on and obviously became big successes were, you know, when the Beatles came along, we had a Beatles fan club, but before that, the principle of the year happened to be a thing that no one thought would work too well, but it became such a challenge to all the different schools that the mail became early, right on through to the ending, where we had to stop because moving vans pulled up one time, and there were 3 million votes for a principal at a school in New Jersey, and it took 2 moving vans to bring all those cards in, and so it got a little out of hand. We used to go around to the schools that won and speak and make an appearance at the school before the student body and give the principal an award, the Principal of the Year award. And it's interesting how some schools were so proud of their principal, and other schools, of course, would get no mail from at all. But the popularity of some of the principals is just incredible. And so we'd go out and make those appearances, and it was fun. I think probably the first promotional thing that I personally did to call people's attention to the station and the show was to go out and do record hops. Now, record hops actually was the first form of concert for rock musicians in that you'd go out to a hall at a church or at a school and have 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people all dancing to records that you played. But as a special for that particular night, the Shangri-Las would come in person and they would lip sync their record up on the stage or do a couple of songs. And somebody else would come to another one, and somebody else would come to another one. And so in that form, it was a chance for them to see the artists that they were buying the record from, but and also for that artist to sell more of those records the next day. But it was the first real concert form for the rock people, and then the college campuses started to have early on some little concerts of a group or low vocal, maybe they called it Hootenanny and so forth, but there were no theaters with concerts. The Garden didn't do concerts. There weren't theaters to do it. There wasn't anything really in the form of live entertainment. And so I think people, when they wanted to hear their favorites, they had to go buy that album and then imagine what they did.
This is a great story. We were Ingram, Dan was there, he joined ABC, WABC 1 month before I did. Scott was there, and so this is kind of an interesting story. We all got into a room with Hal Neal. It was a terrific guy. He was a Marine sergeant to me. You know?
And he was what to WABC?
He was our vice president and general manager. He was the big gun. Mm-hmm. And we were not in Fat City at WABC at this time. We had listeners, and it was still very mm-hmm. teenage radio, and mm-hmm. WMCA was doing it, WMGM was doing it. You know? Right. Everybody was playing around. WNEW, they were still in 1940. You know what I'm saying? And they had not discovered there was FM was just duplicating what they were doing on AM,
yes.
Which we won't even discuss. I'm sure you'll let it pass. I know you'll let it pass. Anyway, Hal Neal got us into a studio one day, and I remember Scotzo was there, and Herb Oscar, and Danny, and myself, and he said, the first one of you guys who become number one in the next ratings will get $150 cash and a suit of clothing. Right? And that was all he had to say. We all got together, and the next book came out. We were number one. WABC was born, and we were off and running. And he gave everybody, all of us, $150 and took us all down to a place called Phil Kronfeld on Broadway in Manhattan and bought us a suit of clothing. We all got those famous raincoats that we used to appear in pictures that the All-Americans, but the All-Americans weren't born in those days. You know, we were the good guys, by the way, before we became the All-Americans. Are you aware of that?
It was WABC. Before WMCA.
Yes. Yeah. We kept it for about a week and a half. And then we became the All-Americans, because they put a lot of money into it, and WABC, I guess, was not willing to cover the expense of that.
Yeah, what were some of the phrases? The All-American Hit Survey, right?
Yeah. The Super Hit Survey, the Super Sound Survey, listen to the All-Americans, you know, this type of thing. And they became the good guys. They put out the sweatshirts, and the battle was on. It was a great thing. It was terrific. New York was fun. The good guys were against the All-Americans.
Right.
The All-Americans really, it never caught on. The good guys caught on, and to this day is a phenomenal
thing. Well, they had the T-shirts
but
and everything.
WABC, we had it first. We were the good guys before they were.
That's a piece of history I haven't heard yet. Yeah. With all the history that's been going by us in the last 3 days.
And we then became number one, and we held on. I mean, we were getting 20 shares, 30 shares, 40 shares of the audience. And to the people listening, that's a very big hunk of the pie.
This is early mid-60s.
Yeah, very early mid-60s. It's just, we captured, and by that, in those days, we were really a young people's radio station. Because rock and roll, which it was, rock and roll music, as Jack O'Brien's to call me the king of rot and roll. Rock and roll music was not accepted by the adult world. They poo-pooed it, you know. Mm-hmm. As they said, they must feed him, they say they must feed Cousin Brucey five times a day and put him in a closet and then let him out at night. This type of, so it was not chic. It was not in to listen to Cousin Brucey and to WABCs or WMCAs in those days. And, of course, FM radio was not even there. They were not, nobody realized the great potential of this other medium, FM radio. So We just banded along, and everything on the radio in those days were pimple creams. I mean, I became the king of pimple creams, you know. Hey, everybody, listen, you want to get rid of your pimples? Why not use Blematina Go-Go? Guaranteed to get rid of your pimples in 3 days or your money and pimples back. You know, I sold a lot of pimple creams and toothpaste and a lot of soft drinks and chewing gums and those kind of things. That's all. And remember, we had National Home School of Study. We used to get them equivalency diplomas. That was our commercials in those days. And then the turnaround happened when I have to credit the Chubby Checker phenomenon, the Twist, for bringing adulthood to our kind of radio. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, the Twist came out, and suddenly, Twist clubs, like in New York City, you had the Peppermint Lounge, and all the other clubs that were dying, needing a shtick, needing something, became Twist clubs. And adults started going to Twist clubs, and that started them listening to Cousin Bruce's story.
71 WABC degrees in Channel 77 of New York Town. This is the station that wished on New York and became a star. WABC!
Got a solid gold head for you by the Sparkle Tones called Black Slacks. Black slacks, black slacks, black slacks are filled with tacks. Ding a ding a ding ding a ding ding ding. Everybody go.
Thank you.
And we would vote on which ones we wanted to play. Now, we didn't have a lot of choice. It was whatever was brought in that we listened to that we had a choice to add. And so, actually, WABC at its peak, and even after I left there, had narrowed their playlist of current singles to a very low number, somewhere between 18 and 22 or 23, depending on the records that were available. And those records were rotated all the time. In other words, in 1 hour you'd play 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9, and 11, and the next hour you'd play 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, and 12. And it got to be boring to me. I mean, some of the records were good, and some of them were great, and all that sort of thing. But there was so much new music starting to emerge, and there was this whole rebirth of people involved in writing and recording, and it was so valuable to get to all these new people that were coming along, and we weren't doing it. But of course, the nature of the station was to play the hits, so the newer things weren't of concern to management. They were to some of the air people. And so there was a neglect in that area. And, of course, once FM emerged and came into its own, the birth of all the music we have today really grew. I mean, then the expansion. But thinking back, the groups that were hits in the early and middle and mainstay days of ABC and in the 60s were the same groups that we had to work with. They were mainly vocal. Musicianship didn't come along till later, till more of this birth and freedom happened, where you get up on stage and not only you play these songs, but you show musicianship. Here's a guy that can really handle the keyboard. Here's a fantastic guitarist. You know, that sort of thing. That came later, but all the records that you used to listen to then were all, if everybody wasn't singing, you're in a lot of trouble.
I had befriended a bunch of kids, Bob Lewis, alias Bobaloo, a doo-wop group, before I was... Well, I was in a period when I wasn't on the air. I was working as
I was a graduate student, and I was working at a YMCA youth program. And I befriended a bunch of kids who had a doo-wop group. They put out a record almost a year later while I was working in New Haven, which wasn't a particularly good record, but it wasn't a bad record. And they came up to New Haven to do some promotion for their thing. And they came up a couple of times, and then they walked in one day, and they sang this song to me, this Babaloo, Babaloo, IA thing. I hadn't even heard the record it was taken from, which was a 1958 million record seller by a group called The Eternals. And I flipped on the theme song. I said, this is a lot of fun. I stuck them in a production studio at the radio station, recorded it, and started using it. And the result was that people started calling me Babaloo. It was just a take on Bob Lewis. When I got to New York radio, my first boss in New York was Rick Sklar, not at ABC, but at what was then WMGM and is now WHN, and it was a rocker at that time. I took over a show from Al Lohman Jr., which was, in fact, the Peter Tripp show. Al Lohman had taken it over from Peter Tripp, and I took it over from Al. And it was the 8 to 11 slot or something like that. It was opposite Scott and Brucey and, I guess, Steve O'Brien. I finally won an argument with Sklar to let me use it. I used it a few times and got contacted by the Eternals. And I thought they were going to get mad because I was using their record. And they said, no, we want to record the theme for you the right way. So we went into a studio and recorded it, and I used it. And it was the theme song that attached the name to me.
Oh, no! Yeah, 37 WABC degrees, and it's cloudy in our town, downtown New York town. Date, if you need it, Wednesday, 17th of February, 1975. Right now, again, 37 and cloudy. All aboard. The Silent Hill Station, counting down the time. Hit that whistle. 77. Daddy with you on a Walloping Wednesday landslide, setting the die variable people first over the past, letting the time slide roll.
The one that I probably was best known for was the All Night Show, which I did when I first came there from Wins. I did that for about 2 years. And I left the All Night Show. Originally, I had expected to move off the All Night Show into an earlier slot. And unfortunately, I was too successful. We had a land developer client who apparently was so happy about the amount of land sales that I made for him that he insisted that I had to do the show so he could sell his land. And it got to the point where I'd rather not mention the name of the client, but it got to the point where I could barely mention my name without having the name of the client thrown at me. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, I enjoyed doing his commercials because they were completely ad-lib commercials. I insisted that he fly me down to see the land before I would do the spots because I didn't want to sell swamp or something like that. I don't think an outfit like ABC would have allowed that anyway. But I wanted to know what I was selling. And then I ad-libbed his commercials twice a half hour. And they apparently worked very well, so he really wanted me on there. And so I got stuck there for about 2 years, and it had totally destroyed my personal life. I finally said, look, fellas, you know, I really want off this show. And they finally accommodated me and shifted me over to first weekends, and then I had a late night show after Bruce and before the all night show for a while. And that was about the time that I kind of revolted and within myself and laid Babaloo to rest and decided that it was time to be Bob Lewis and play progressive rock. I went to what is now WPLJ. It was WABC-FM at that point, and I was very involved in the programming of the progressive rock that put ABC-FM on the air, because nobody knew anything about progressive rock at ABC. Mm-hmm. Anything. I liked it. I'd been listening to it myself for a long time, and I kind of doubled for a while. I was doing Babaloo on ABC-AM and Bob Lewis on FM, and the station finally became concerned that my being on both radio stations was confusing the ratings. So they threw a curve at me and told me I had to work on one station or the other, and I think I blew their minds and took FM. And in, as a matter of fact, somebody, I will not say who, said to me, how can you work for a little FM rate? Now, this is very appropriate for what we're talking about. The question was asked of me by one of the management. How can you go to work for a little FM radio station that can't be heard more than 60 or 80 miles from New York City and choose that over a radio station that you get mail from Honolulu? And we used to get mail from Honolulu. That station, when they're skipped, can be heard there. How can you turn that down? How, turn down the biggest radio station in the world? And I said, because FM is tomorrow. And I think that ABC Going All Talk is proof that for my kind of radio, for music radio, FM was tomorrow. It is today. I can remember in the 50s and 60s, we used to have local hits. When I worked in New Haven, there were hit records in New Haven that didn't make it in New York. And there used to be a thing about if a record made it, was going to make it, it would make it first in Buffalo. But making it in Buffalo didn't guarantee that it would make it. And the point that I'm trying to make there is that FM permits local hits. FM permits local interest. And I think local radio is 10 times better for music and personal entertainment than any large area coverage radio station. I like the fact that WNEW FM is a New York radio station. They've got very good FM radio stations in South Jersey that come out of some of the universities and so forth. Pete Fornatale came out of one of them. It allows for more people to get involved in the music because of the limited range of the radio stations. Whereas the talk format is really ideal for a huge coverage station like ABC. And the stations like ABC, the clear channel stations that can be heard over most of the country, these are mastodons. They are out of date in terms of their original reason for existing. They created these radio stations, the government created these frequencies, these clear channel frequencies originally, so that rural areas could get big city news and big city entertainment. Well, with the advent of wire services, rural areas get the same news that big cities get. And with the advent of the recording industry, they can get the same entertainment that the big cities can get. There is no real reason for clear channel stations today. Okay? So we may as well use the ones we have for talk and information. Okay? And I think that ABC is an outfit that's uniquely suited for that kind of situation. They have such a huge news operation, such a tremendous reach around the world that they can bring information in. I have not looked at what the talk format's going to be on ABC. If it's just chatter, then I think it's only a matter of time before they change it again. But that's a personal opinion. If they do get involved in really serving the public with topics and discussion and information that can be carried in words, I think that's fine. Don't mess with me, Argentina, or something like that. I don't know. It's just not today's music to talk about that kind of thing. And somebody's got to talk about it, and I guess it's up to the talk stations. When I left ABC was about 1970, and I put in about a year at CBS FM, and then I came here. So that'd be about 1971, and off and on, I was with NEW until about 75 or thereabouts.
This is WNEW-FM, New York City.